so full of, I'm not sure why I got off the floor. I want to go right back to, as soon as I kept singing, I said, what am I doing up here? I want to go right back there. I had to force myself off to begin with great difficulty. I just feel so ministered to. I feel, I just can't tell you how I feel. Unless you've experienced it, you just no way of understanding. I just feel so inadequate. You know, I'm trying to talk, and I feel so inadequate to explain anything, and I'm going to say everything. I just feel like slumping to the floor and just staying there. I'm trying to get a hold of myself. When I was on the floor, I just said, Lord, help me get up. I had a terrific battle between my mind and my spirit. My mind said, the people are waiting. You've got to get up. I felt to get up to explain some things because I felt I needed to say some things in a preliminary part for what's going to come later. And my spirit just said, oh, I don't care if nothing makes any difference. Just stay here, you know. And I just tried to say, I've got to get up. The people are waiting out there. My spirit man just didn't want to move. I'm not sure that I should have gotten up. I'm not sure I should have broken anything. Let me stop. I just felt like, oh God, I didn't mean to unplug it. My. I'll try to start, get a hold of myself. When I started this evening in prayer, I just felt such a love for the Father. And I just felt such confidence in God. And I just felt, oh God, Father, I just trust you implicitly. God, recognizing, you know, thou art almighty and creator, I have such a tremendous trust in you. I have no fear of you. Because you're altogether lovely. You're not austere. You're not a God of judgment. I just felt such an absolute trust in Him, this God that holds the universe. And felt in that beloved relationship where there's just no fear, total confidence. No worry about things to come, what might happen or anything. Just knowing that God held all things in His hand. He held the plan of God. He held us. He held the ministry. He held everything. Everything is under control. He knows exactly what He's doing. He's using the devil for a big fall. He's going to open doors. He's going to release power. He's going to do everything that's needed. He's going to take care of every single thing. And that there's just no fear in God, no fear of God. That I just felt in such a revelation. I felt Him just loading me with light and revelation. Not strange, different, unusual things, but just the reality of Himself working. Just that men, Christians, Holy Ghost Christians, for the most part, tend to walk out of the revelation, out of from under the Spirit, with their carnal minds thinking. Understanding God's word to a degree, and understanding the division and the vision to a degree, and trying to, you know, and talking with God, and all of this, understanding all of that, but unless you're in that revelatory place, you know, you're just not in that same place. And I just could see so keenly tonight the things were made so clear by the Spirit. So clear by the Spirit. I just wish there was some way to impart the reality of the things that God makes clear. But I see that what God wants to do is to have His people be in the Spirit where He can impart that same reality to everyone. That everyone feels that same clear revelation, has that clear vision, and feels the absolute imperativeness of allowing God to direct our minds and lives, to have our lives be a total service. Not that we got a job and family and these things and we try to work in some ministry and we go to church and try to get some of God. Not that. But rather, our lives belong to Him. And not that we're going to take some time out to have some fun and rest and do things, but be in a place where His Spirit is feeding us. I can see so clearly how my ministry is going to change in a particular aspect, or other things too, in a particular aspect so clearly. And yet there's nothing that we can do about it. I mean, only the Spirit of God can bring it. It isn't something that you can try to do and rework your schedule. These are not things that you just try to, you know, do in yourself. It's something that's done as God works on you. He brings you to a place where your spirit can only do certain things, in which this imperativeness is upon you, and this mind of Christ, and this revelation, and this will, this mission of God, until your life is totally given to that thing. And that is what God is going to do in His people. When I am speaking about what God has showed me tonight, made so clear to me, for me, as a leader, although it may come first, you know, here, it is really God's will for every single one. That this is not something for a pastor and then there's a different position. This is something that will come through a pastor, all right, and he'll work, you know, in some leadership positions ahead of others, all right, but this is God's revelation for His sons, for every single one, every single one of God's sons and daughters, all to become. Now listen, if somehow I have revelation of God tonight, this isn't some esoteric thing, this is some real practical thing that is so scriptural. And nothing really new, but absolutely new by the illumination of the Spirit, if you understand. New to your heart if you can receive it and really have God work on you. God is going to take His people so much further than they realize. So much further. See, in the mind is a theological thing. Man, child, last day ministries, all moving out, doing these things. Dragon head gets slashed, we go up. God is going to use you, give power. But you see, that thing is kind of a lot of mechanical things out here without the power and feeling of the Spirit. But the Spirit would have God's people see this in a little different realm than that. Not to see the mechanics of it out here, but to see that He wants to infuse each one with revelation. I don't mean with, oh, brother, God's showing me this about you and, oh, I'm way out here. I don't mean that. But I mean with an absolute revelation of His Word, of His calling, of the mission of God, of what God has said in His Word throughout, that we grasp in the Spirit what we've been trying to say and understand in the mind and in the soul. Because only if we get this thing in the Spirit, only if we get this thing in our spirits, will we be moved in the Spirit and really carry to do this work. I saw tonight a result of life infused, as in a grub worm, that goes through the larva and pupa stage. And I saw it in the pupa stage emerging like into the butterfly stage, and where it's like a cocoon. And just the end of it was getting eaten off. And he's pushing with a big head. His wings were back, you know, and you couldn't do a thing with them. They had developed. He had developed legs and wings, but he couldn't use them. It was all bound in this cocoon thread. And pushing with the head, like that, and push, just kind of a black end and trying to get out of all these threads so it could fly away and develop. And it was like as it's trying to push, like the enemy would keep putting more threads around it and just trying to hold it back with more threads over the end. Every time it's trying to push, and there was the enemy, the devil, trying to wind this thing to keep it from emerging. I saw by the Spirit a church trying a body of believers, Christ's people, nothing definite, you understand, as to who, but the truth, and we all know, trying to emerge out of this encased position that we had been in, that we might move in a position of freedom as the design of God, because the position that the church has been in is not the design of God. I mean, it's part of the process of development, but it is certainly not the end design. And as God illuminates his people to understand, and as we begin to move in the Spirit, and the Spirit comes upon us, and as we give ourselves over to the Spirit and put away worldliness, see, there's no way you can watch television 20 hours a week and hobnob in the world and do a lot of things with your mind and then come and be in that place. And yet I fully recognize that, you know, if you are in a certain place and you come and you're battling against seemingly insurmountable odds and you've got appetites built, you don't feel, you go to pray and you feel up against a wall, you feel dry, nothing's happening, you're not getting anything, it just seems futile, why put your energies into that? See, God's people, anybody, people will not put their energy into something they get nothing out of for any length of time. They just won't. You know, they'll for a while, they'll push, and not unless they're really praying and they've got a real vision and you know, God is goading them. If you can't get something healed, you go over and you live this way. And you can preach at them and lay it out and show them and all this. And they'll struggle a bit and try a bit, but they're kind of bound. You know, they're in that cocoon. They can't, you know, it's just like saying, fly, fly. I can't fly. I mean, you know, I hear you calling, but I can't seem to do anything. But God's Spirit is going to release his people. And his people will fly out into the sunshine. You will be delivered from every bondage and fear and dryness of soul. You will be healed in your heart. You will get an infusion of life and faith and power and divine ability to take you to that place. This is the groaning within. This is the travail in the church for this man child to be delivered. This is the travailing inside. Travailing, and it's going to get more travail. More travail. The pains are going to come harder and press and press. It's going to get more and more imperative to deliver this child. And the whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Where are these sons of God who walk as sons of God? You know, the average Christian is such an infant. He's such a baby. He is such a carnal creature. I mean, really, 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 most all Christians are carnal and weak. They all like to think of themselves as so spiritual, but they're not. The Christian world is in an infant stage, weak, weak, weak. Carnal, confused, just full of all kinds of stuff. And it doesn't make any difference who you are. We have been impacted. But God will set his people free. And this is a work that we've done with the Spirit. Now, what God showed me tonight is God's people need to get together and they need to resist the powers of the enemy that is oppressing, holding back, holding down, keeping the revelation blocked. In other words, really and truly, we need to become an entire congregation of intercessors. Instead of saying, will the intercessors come forward, everybody is to become an intercessor. Now, true, some have moved into this ministry, they have felt the calling. God has said, you move for the body because the body can't do it yet, so you do it. You begin to move for them so they can begin doing it. You begin to help others get free so they can. But then he wants others to move, to others to move, and so forth. This body is to be a body that will stand together against the powers of darkness. This is not to be a body of drop-ins and drop-outs. Half-covenant people, religionists who like the young people and the music ministry is nice down there. This is not what God's doing. This is an organism, a spiritual organism, a body in the making of Christ. This is a real work of the Spirit that is building in people to set them free, strip them of self, heal them inside, cut out the world, take them out of the world and set them in heavenly places and give them power with God. God showed me the necessity of His people having power with God. God wants these signs to follow them that believe. He wants His people raising the dead, miraculously healing the sick, speaking the word of God with revelation and abundantly and freely and commonly. But now listen to me. Listen to me. I know so much by the Spirit. I know what I'm talking about. I'm talking about things in an enlightened position where you need to really take a hold of this and believe this and catch this the best you can, because I realize the person who receives it feels it in a way that people can't. You know, all you can do is hear you talking and everybody's not, you know, can't possibly. There's no way you can, you know, really share with somebody who hasn't been there, somewhere you've been, and have them really get it. There's no way you can have a vacation to someplace or a love life with somebody and share it to somebody so they can understand it and feel it and get it like you have. But God wants to share this with each one of us. And as we work and minister together, that will be, to some degree, shared with one another. What God shared with me, even though and people who in the Spirit will have with them, with that one, will have an ability to sense some things that people who are out of it don't have the ability to sense. They're getting it in a different way. You know what I mean? Getting it in a different way. Now, at this hour, there is so much pride and carnality. And by carnality, you know, I just mean the human element. That God cannot give His power. It would be totally abused. Terribly abused. People get stumbled. Their minds are thrown. If God would come and infuse His people with power, they would shipwreck the whole, they would all tear the whole church world to pieces. Every man would go out on his own, and every man would try to out-profit the other one. And everybody would want to do something. I mean, he would, you know, stand up on his own. He would do this and this and this. And mine would run away from him. But I felt tonight, I felt as I was there in God's presence, I felt this desire, and God put this revelation on me for this. And I felt, you know, in this place where I could say, Lord, I want and need and must have your mind, your heart, your revelation, your power. Lord, that the glory of the Lord upon my life, the love of Jesus through this ministry. There has got to be a lot more. And Father, I want to be just a voice of one. I don't want to be that one. I don't want to stand with the Don Barnett campaign. That is so repugnant to me. You know, ministers do that. They got their own name as the campaign. I don't want my name in the campaign. I would hate that. I don't mean to slander anybody. I just mean that is so repugnant to the Spirit in me. I want Jesus glorified. I want to only be the voice. I said, Lord, I want to be hid at the foot of the cross. I remembered William Branham in the very start of his ministry. And I saw the absolute humility in that man, where Jesus got all the glory. And I said, Lord, that's where I want to be, in a total position. I don't want to be in any focal point. But God will take a man who's humble and who's in that place and give him power and infuse him with, and God's going to do glories in his people. He's going to give his people power as the world has never seen. But it was so clearly, I've already known this, but it's just so clear in the Spirit. But it was so clear to me that God is saying, that person, and I felt it so keenly, who receives this, it must not do anything to him. It must not impact him one tiny bit. And I felt, you know, I just felt by the Spirit, in that place in the Spirit, like, Lord, no matter what power, miracles, what's happening, it wouldn't impact me. I feel like it doesn't make, it is, I must have what you need for this people, that I can do with what you want for this people, that they can become what you want, that they can become. But Lord, we have got to have this people to a place where they will not be impacted. We have had people seriously impacted by something that comes to the mind, whether it's to the Lord or not, that would say, you know, God's going to do some great thing, and it's not a strutting process to go into, but it seems to toss them from their judgment. We must keep an equilibrium with the feet in the ground and not affect pride in the slightest. It must do nothing. It must not excite the human flesh, pride. It must not be, oh boy, this is going to be something neat. It should have no feeding like that. This should be only considered in the Spirit as this is a necessity, Lord, for your work. I felt that so keenly. The cause of Christ must be brought to a fall. The work that God has given man must be completed. And as I was praying tonight, I saw and felt and this revelation, again, so strong. See, the average person has not really had a full, balanced picture of Christ. I have learned so much in the last number of years, and it's been a progressive strengthening over the last 15 years of this understanding of Christ that I never had to be in the beginning. This quarterly depth of Jesus Christ is totally inadequate to really explain God's plan. And the bottom line of what I'm saying is this. God has given man dominion over the earth. And God has put this planet in the hands of man and the salvation of man in the hands of man. Now, I don't mean this in any kind of a blasphemous, disrespectful way, but anybody who really gets this revelation and knows the Scripture knows that this is so. These things like, command ye me the work of my hands, is a fantastic statement. The statements of what should be bound on earth should be bound in heaven, what should be loosed on earth should be loosed in heaven, is a fantastic statement. Greater works than these shall ye do because I go to my Father is a fantastic statement. These signs shall follow them that believe, and you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, and the dead and all the rest. It's a fantastic statement. The Scriptures that tell us that, you see, the Scriptures that teaches us the coming to the full of, and the manifestation of the sons of God, and the realization, we seek Jesus Christ. And if we look at him, we have got to see him in a certain light. And it's got nothing to do with deity and manhood. He is both. And But Jesus Christ, if you'll notice in the Scriptures, it's the focal point of the Christian salvation faith. Jesus Christ is the focal point. It's not the Father, it's Jesus Christ. Isn't that right? Jesus Christ is the focus of the entire Bible. The Bible is only a handbook for man. It is salvation-oriented. It is not about a book of heaven. It's not about a book of God. It's not a book of history. It's a book, a handbook for man. And it's a student guidebook. That's what it is. And in this, you see everything revolving about Jesus Christ. God being all in all, but everything about Jesus Christ. And what you see is him as man, Adam, the last Adam. You see God's design at the beginning of making man in the image of God, creating him in the image of God, and to make him in the likeness of God, and having dominion over the earth, and he pleased him to save man by the lowliness or foolishness, as the King James says, of preaching. And he put it in man that he'd given man authority, rebuked with all authority. The power he's put in magistrates and kings and apostles and pastors is really, and priests and prophets, is awesome. The tremendous miracles to move creation and many things by the hand of man is pretty fantastic. A tremendous amount has been put in the hands of man. The church has been put in the hands of man. Now, all under Jesus Christ, but not just as God. Not just as God. I used to see it that way, but I've learned a lot since those days. Because the scripture is telling you that God over Christ and Christ over the church. There's somebody over Christ, and it's not God over God. It's God over man. It's a perfect man who was exalted and put in a high position and given a name. Given a name. He didn't have the name. It was given to him. He had an inheritance. Power was given to him. He was exalted. He was lifted up. He, as the last Adam, was put in a particular place. And glory and power is given to Christ. Fantastic power. As a man, I'm talking about. That's where the revelation has to come in. As a man. Because God's got all this. God wasn't elevated. God wasn't lifted up. God wasn't given anything. He's got all. As a man, you must understand this. And then the scripture says, concerning Christ, who shall rule the millennial earth, who shall come again in glory. As man, they see him, human, in a glorified body, of course. He must put down all rule. He must put down all earthly rule. All nations shall be broken into shivers. There shall be no nations, no nation. There shall not be Germany and England and France. Nations shall be broken to pieces. And when he has put down all authority, then he shall give up the kingdom to the Father. At that point, that God may be all in all. What do you see? Man having dominion over this earth until the completion of the ministry of this earth, the salvation ministry. For salvation is not complete until the saints are in heaven and they're saved totally from sin and totally from judgment. That is, so here we must work out our salvation. We grow into salvation daily. We are in a salvation process. We are legally saved, provisionally saved, but experientially working it out. And when it's finally, this earth is terminated itself before it, heaven and earth passes away, Christ, as the head regent of Adam over the earth, as Adam, delivers it up to deity, to God, that God must be all in all. Christ's focus changes at that time. Because Adam must not be the focal point. The last Adam must not be the focal point. God must be the focal point. Christians have too easily slipped over that verse without really getting its impact. They are confused about Christ. Because Christ is so great, they want Christ to be the focal point in heaven forever. He is not the focal point. God must be all in all. Now, it's not talking about the deity of Jesus, or he wouldn't be giving up anything. God must be. Didn't say the Father must be. God must be. Deity must be all in all. Man must relinquish that, that God be all in all. Now, true, Jesus Christ, as that perfect Son will be a lamp and a light in the city, but God will be that which is furnishing that lamp. He will be in a preeminent place forever. But God will be all in all. It's over the Adam. You've got to understand. You have to see Christ down here as Adam. And we have an equal inheritance with him. We are brought in as one with him. And because he has got this mission, we have got a mission. We are part of the body of Christ. And we have got authority with God, and we're not living up to it. We have got power with God. He wants to use us as Christ. He, the Lord and his Christ, his anointed one, plural. There must be anointed Christ. That is, I'm talking about anointed ones in that relationship where we have given ourselves over and become one with Him. And this plan of God must be accomplished in the church and in the earth. And we're in the last days. Now, and that all went through my mind so forcibly tonight as I was there. And I just felt the urgency of the revelation for the God's people to rise out of the place of that sleepiness. There is a sleepiness in the church. And they're bound. And it's not the fault, but it means that God's people must come and begin to wait together and intercede and break on through. Break on through. I call you to break on through. I call you to begin to take. You see, there is too much lack of faith, lack of vision, lack of purpose. And so God's people come together and they just want to feel a little bit, and everybody's like a sheep, you don't know what to do, and nobody's taking any authority. Nobody's doing anything. I mean, if the elders aren't here, or a pastor, or a minister, somebody to lead something, they can all stand around, nobody knows what to do, now what are we supposed to do? This is not a format, dear ones. This is not what is the format for tonight? What are we all supposed to do? That isn't the idea. We come together, and God's people are not taking this thing in the Spirit and doing with it what they need to be doing with it. They need to come together with an urgency. They need to get this vision and keep it bright. Without a vision, the people perish. The church will perish and they lack the vision. And that's why they live so much in the world. They do not have this clear vision that will pull them out of it. And we must begin to travel this route because it's getting late. We have got to come out of that sleepiness and begin to move in this realm. It won't all come at once. There's nothing you can do in yourself just to pull yourself out. And I saw tonight, see, God didn't come down and say, oh, Lord, you give me that power. I just, boom, oh, yeah, now I got it. It won't come that way. There was a building. There was a building, look, there's an illumination building. There was something that God is doing. And I just sensed tonight such a freedom and such a faith and such a comfort and such a peace in just realizing that it is, you know, it's so easy to struggle for it and to strive for it. Oh, Lord, do it. And you're also anxious and nervous inside. Don't feel anything yet. Oh, God, do it, do it, do it, do it, see. But I realized tonight in the Spirit so keenly, Father, you'll do it. You'll do it. All we need to do is to come and open our minds to you and our hearts. Open up, let you do that work. Give over to you. Just yield, just to believe, to work in this area, to move back those demonic forces and begin to claim this power, and you will do that work. You couldn't stop it. It will come automatically. It isn't something that you have to try to get God to do. He will do it. It's an automatic follow-on of what happens in the Spirit. It's so clear that the Father will take care of it all by Himself. He'll do the work. But we must be in that place where He can do it. And, it's so clear. It's so marvelous. I'll tell you something. We have at times, you know, banged our head against the door and tried to penetrate it. Try to get out. You see, God has not opened the door. I mean, if you want to know the facts, He hasn't really opened the door. Every so often we move out to see what God will do, and the answer is really nothing. And I don't mean total nothing, but I mean nothing unusual. Nothing more than any son of God, nothing more than anybody who will go out and work for God, though you'll get a few souls. But God has not opened the door. And the reason is that He's not ready to open the door. The people are not ready to flow through it. They are not ready in the right position so God can use them. God doesn't want this messed up this time. This is His last chance. If this one gets messed up, then the earth is going to suffer. The world is going to suffer. God's going to hold back until He gets people in the right shape. He must start some assemblies. He must take people in unfinished conditions. He must have some people, collect some people, and begin to work on them. But outside of a little bit of that, He cannot yet release His power in the saints and send His people. You're going to find this so easy. God will do the work. It's going to come with such amazing speed and force once God can begin. Once He opens the door, brother, I'll promise you, I know this by the Spirit, once He opens the door, you won't be pioneering out there. I mean, you will be loading in the sheaves as fast as you can throw them in the hay wagon with both arms. I mean, they'll come in with such speed and the necessity, and you'll come with the power of the Spirit. It won't be a work inside. It will not be the old Pentecostal, the old holiness, the old holiness movement pioneering, the old Pentecostal pioneering, the present pioneering. It will not be the struggle to get sinners. But you'll move out, and this thing will just move. It'll just move. They'll see it. Life will be infused. They'll come in. There'll be no work of man. It'll be a work of the Spirit. We have got to get ourselves in a place. God's not done. God's not done. Anybody going out to do work now is just to get some people so God can do something there. This must not be thought of as what my goal is, to have this little church out there so I can do what other people have in their church. Because he's got a church up here and he's got one there. If that's your goal, you have totally missed it. There is something so far beyond. That's a hard pioneer work that nobody really in the right mind would covet in the natural. But in the Spirit, there's a place beyond where God's going to reap souls. And we've got to have victory over the devil. We have got to have victory. We've got to move. We've got to interlock. We have got to interlock. We have got to pay the absolute supreme price. We've got to come right back. I'm almost through. We've got to come right back to the scripture that we've preached 10 million times and jumped over and ran off. Except a man deny himself and take up his cross. And I don't mean a legalistic work. I mean like Jesus did, where you give yourself a living sacrifice. And I don't mean without the revelation of the Spirit. I mean all of this with the revelation of the Spirit, so that you don't sacrifice anything as far as your spirit is concerned. If you happily rush into what God wants you to do, not because authority or somebody said so and I got to do this. That is not what God wants. He wants to bring his people to a place where they flow right out in the Spirit. The Spirit is just moving on them. We've got marvelous days ahead. There's some real struggles, real birth pangs, some real struggles to get out of the cocoons. But if you will hear the word of the Lord and believe, if you will bind together in a unity, if you'll quit hurting one another and start helping one another and lock together and get that revelation where the devil is chopping saints to pieces out here and dividing them against each other, if we'll put that out and interlock and undergird this move and don't play these games, well, why, he's a man, and am I supposed to submit to a man, and what if he falls, and I don't know, and it is. See, you that way, you are a hindrance to the move of God. If you will believe God for what he's doing and move in under it and work together without any suspicion or worries or fears and put your faith in God, make him big enough to take care of his own spearhead movement, God will do something that the world has never seen. And all these people that stand on the sidelines and say, oh, you think God's going to do something to you? You think you're going to be some big person? Huh? They got this kind of revelation that they're going to be. See, all that carnal demonic voices. That's exactly what the devil wants to move in, because he doesn't want anybody to think that they can be anything in God. He wants to keep every Christian mediocre. He wants to keep them all dead like everybody else he's got to sleep. And anybody that has any faith that God begins to move to anything, the devil's going to rush up to him with mouths and say, oh, you think you're going to be something exclusive, special? Why should you be special over other people? Oh, and that's the main voice of the devil. What makes you think that the chapel is going to be anything special? I mean, God loves all the... See, that is the work of the devil. There has never been a revival in the history of man from the days of Adam to the present that God didn't move through certain men and movements. You can't find one in the history of man. God has never come down on all the churches at once and all Christendom at once and moved uniformly among everybody at once. Never, never, never has he ever done so. So you go back to the reformers. Hello, your name is Luther. Oh, you think you're going to be some special noted one. You're going to be a reformer, huh? Oh, Huss, oh, you think you're going to be, oh, Savonarola, you're going to be some big man in Florence, huh? Oh, your name is Benny. You think you're going to be, have your name in the history books. You're going to be, you're going to be something, see? That's the devil's lie. God is looking for people to make supernatural ministers. He wants to bring apostles, prophets, interpreters in a thousand, a man-child company, bride of Christ saints, overcomers, those with power with God, over and above any other Christian on the face of the earth. Why? So he might save the others on the face of the earth. So they might have that power. That doesn't mean the forerunner stays a forerunner forever. It moves in. He only pioneers. We may bring a message to somebody who will then be able to bring it to thousands of others that we could never bring it to. He may have more of an influence when it gets going than we would ever have. It doesn't make any difference. It wouldn't make any difference. We're not talking about who's top and first. We're talking about getting God's power and using. God has to have somebody to crack the nut. He could have somebody to penetrate. He has to have somebody to go out in the wilderness and cry out. And the devil would hold his people back by this. He's trying two different tricks. One of them, you're going to be everything. You're going to teach. You're going to be so spooky, you know, and get them in a super spiritual place. Like, we're going to be everything. I'm some special thing. And then the other side, you can't be anything. He's working both ends at the same time. He's looking for people that will move out with power with God that it will not affect them. It's souls. It's God's work. It's God's plan that's consuming them. And it's just a lot of, and the man's energy, he just goes out as a pipe. He just goes out to do God's work. There's no glory here. It's all uphill. And until we get to a place we can handle this, God cannot do in this group what he wants to do. He wants to give power gifts, but if we're going to ruin each other and all run around and play big people and show who can outdo the other one, then God can't do the work. We've got to come down and be broken before God. We've got to be in that right place in the Spirit. The human frame will never receive the power of God in the right places. I've got to try to quit. Hallelujah. And then near the end, I begin to feel, then, after all of this, and his hands was laid upon me, I'd been there for a while, but then I began, finally, I was just fusing with the Lord in this place, like, and finally, I just began to say, all right, now, Lord, just like, I receive of you through your body, and all the hands were upon me, just like, this is the body of Christ, Lord, through your body of Christ, you're ministering. And then I just began to feel just so ministered to. So, I just like abundant love was bestowed upon me. I felt like, you know, the overabundant love of the saints of God. I just felt, it just felt like, Lord, this abundant love. I guess, you know, I never really, ever in the past, realized, I guess, felt that, you know, I would ever receive such an abundance. It's just like it was just given to me and given to me and given to me and given to me and given to me. And it's hard to explain. But oh, it just made me feel such appreciation for this body of Christ and to the Lord and the cause of Christ. I just want Jesus to get all the glory here. And God, my, don't think of him as some big creature, you know, that you can feel. Just you can trust the Father absolutely, implicitly. Just, God is so marvelous. He's so wonderful. And I am not saying, for anybody who might misunderstand, a community chapel is God's only spill. It's one of the many spills. I am very cognizant that God is moving many bodies, and he's working in many bodies. And they're not developed just like we're not developed. And they will, many bodies will pioneer. There will be many work being done by many different ones that will fit together and help the others come in. And some who have fallen back will move into new places and great places in God. God will raise them up and do new things. And this is not some ego trip we're talking about. Not our church versus somebody else's church. It's got nothing to do with that. It's got only to do with yielding to God and the cause of Jesus Christ, the responsibility of man on planet Earth for the salvation of souls before we wrap up God's plan of the ages for this planet and God gets all the glory. That is the only thing we're really talking about. And our position is to be that people. Because those who will can be that people. Anybody who will can be. Any church who will can be that people. And so it's not presumptuous on our part to say we are going to be that people. We must be that people. And if everybody will be that people at once, marvelous. But they won't all be at once. But we can help one another. And something's going to rise off the face of this globe that's going to startle the devil this one of these days. Praise God. Hallelujah. I got to quit.
Yea, I would say unto thee this night, my spirit is moving throughout this world, and I am in control of that move of my spirit, and I desire to continue to add greater thrust to that movement day by day to bring to pass all that I desire to see happen in this world in this last day. And I have caused my spirit to be moving within you in a new way. And I would say unto you this night, as you allow that move to go right through you and out so that I can manifest myself in your life, you will find yourself walking in my spirit, truly living out the word of God before those round about you. But if you withhold yourself from me and the move of my spirit, you will be as dead before me, for you cannot have life without my spirit breathing within you. And so I would ask you this night to make a decision before me not to withhold your heart from me in any way. And as you open your heart,
pleading to God, the devil may have planned to hinder me, but he had no opportunity. I had such a, just an absolute move right in tonight. And, you know, I just, a few things. I know that I have spoken a lot tonight. I know there hasn't been a worship service. I know there hasn't been a body ministry. But I feel that this is what God wants. I feel that I have these things I need to bring now. I feel God wants it tonight. I feel led that way. I feel I cannot load this on the Sunday morning service. I feel you need to hear it tonight. We're not copying any plan. We're doing what God wants to be done. Now, I feel, you know, and sometimes it's a little bit hard for me. I know your heart. Your heart should say, Pastor, don't worry about it. Don't apologize. Don't really just... We're for you, Pastor. I know that's your heart. I can feel it. But I really feel, you know, I cannot tell you how blessed I am. I would like to stay for, I just like to stay for hours in that. I mean, because God's doing them. Things are happening with me, with the Lord. There's a fusion taking place. There's something there. It isn't just a trip that I'm on. It's a feel good. I'm not just there just to feel electric shocks, you know. God's doing them. I am doing business in my heart with God. And particularly the place where the Spirit is, like it was tonight, in this marvelous way. And I feel that God wants to continue to use the body of Christ to minister to me in that way. And because, you see, when I am really enlightened by the Spirit, I can bring things to you that will move in your spirit, and God will do things. And so, as hard as it is for me, I say I want to continually put myself in that place, you know, before services, after services, various times, any times. I realize, you know, that, and I'm not asking anybody to, you do this, but I'm just saying everything against me wants to say, let's spill it on the people. Other people need it. They've got it. I don't want to be some big fat hog, see. But correction keeps coming to my mind and spirit saying, God wants this pastor to be in this place
And God wants to travel me there as fast as He can get me. There's a work to be done. And so I appreciate you that will get in and really intercede and pray and minister to me in that way. There must be a ministering. There must be, you know, something moving, Bill. Now, what else I want to say? I want you to really take initiative and boldness when you come to pray. Now, last night, Thursday night, we had a teachers' meeting, so the ministers were not here and so forth, but I want the ministers, senior elders, ministers, those who are at or are allowed to come to those ministers' elders' prayer meetings, if need be, to take leadership in any service like this and with one another, to take leadership as necessary. I don't want to manipulate and break things and all of this, but what you need to do, let me give you some direction real quickly. You need to take initiative and not stand around and what do? And do nothing and just a little bit of something. You need to come with a purpose. We are going to come tonight. We're going to intercede and we're going to rebuke the powers of Satan against this church. We are going to pray that God will unify us and make us one. You need to take initiative. Get out of the old shell and come over with some brothers and get your arms around two or three of different people together and begin to bombard the gates of hell with your prayers. You need to come to the throne of God and join together. Form groups. Get together and begin to move. Begin to pray for one another. Begin to pray for the body. Begin to move. Come in together and stand and begin to pour power for yourself. I mean, do something. Get together. Take initiative. Don't wander around but kind of in and out and watch people. Now what do? Get locked in. Come into a place where you begin to minister. Let God begin to move and take a hold. See, you know what to do. We need authoritative, Bible-believing faith and intercession to drive out demonic forces from the assembly. Two, we need a unifying move of the Spirit and power with God and revelation to His people to move them into one and interlock us so the devil cannot break us up. And we need to pray for that. We need to pray for God's people to set people's minds free and come together and give us one heart and mind. And we need to pray that God will fuse our heart with His heart. And let's get out of the old baby prayers and the carnal prayers and, oh, Lord, help me to give up my tobacco and get moving in the things of the Spirit and take a hold of this thing and begin to move for God. Get assertive for God. Get really assertive for the plan of God. I don't mean to run off in foolishness and do some dumb thing, but I mean get caring about the plan of God, this work of God. Put yourself in a position where you are going to be a voice of God. I don't mean some mystical, strange, high, lofty individual. I mean you are care about this work of God. It's got to go forth. It's got to come to the birth. It has to be done. It's going to take the travail of God's people and the faith of God's people. See, we are in it. Always remember, every phase we're in is transitory. We're on the move. We're building. Something is happening. And anything you see is not going to be that way from now on. We are just traveling through, brother, through phases where we work with God and against the enemy, building something, moving to a place of a holiness. This has got to be a holy people. Holiness. Without fornication on dates and sexual things on dates. Without Babylon and Hollywood. It's got to be a holy people. It's got to be a spiritual people. It's got to be an interlocked people. A people helping one another all the time and nobody pushing down and pushing this way. It's got to be a people of faith, not holding out barriers between us and all of this, but believing in God for this work of God. Now, I want to preach my message, part B. Unveiling the devil's new counterattack strategy is what I've entitled this talk tonight. You see, I am confident that the devil is furious. Furious. Because this people is locking him out. These people, There's a move in this body. There is a new spirit to take a hold of what's brought from the pulpit with a new faith to implement it and grow and become something like I have never seen before. All of a sudden, a new practical grabbing a hold of the principles to become and do God's work is being emanated like I've never seen it. There is a new determination to get rid of everything in your heart that's wrong and to cut it out and surrender and give everything up. There's a new determination sweeping this body. And there's a new determination to be in our heavenly places with God and know Him and be one with Him and be in a revelation place to walk with God and with a new power with God. And notwithstanding problems, that is in the heart of great mass in this congregation. And the devil is furious. Because God's people are beginning to have faith in the pastor. The devil does not want God's people to have faith in the pastor. He wants them all to be critical, look over the glasses at them, worry about it, be suspicious, hold their hearts back, wonder about it. He does not want them to have confidence in himself over his pastor, over his people. He wants them all to worry about everything from God on down. He's worried that his people will quit believing rumors. That hurts. That's one of his main tools. And when they will quit believing rumors and critiquing, when they start believing the pastor that God's using them and is speaking to them and giving them understanding, that worries the devil. And when God's people start binding together and begin to minister one to another, that worries him. And when they're willing to let God do work in their heart, that worries him. He is furious. Now, because of that, he is raging with new schemes and new attacks. He no longer can do this particular thing he's been doing because we're making him invulnerable. So he has to find a new countermeasure against our counter. We have countered him. So he's inventing new methods to overcome that which we have used to overcome him. We must know his strategy. We must have our spy planes ferreting out. We must see his design as we see it work. The Spirit must reveal to us. We must make it clear as to what is happening. We must see it when things are happening and know what it is and not be blind until we're half dead. And already, I can see clearly two plans that he's working on. I want you to know, the Church of Jesus Christ has been far too sleepy concerning the attacks and methods and strategies of the devil. God has made it very clear in his word that we are struggling against these governments and principalities and powers in high places. And God's people have not taken it serious enough. Some have tried to run off on some kind of a baby fanatical demon, everything, demon trip, and they haven't got the thing in balance. I don't intend people to be all demon, but we must, in the spirit, not fear him. See, some people want to say, oh, greater is he that is within, and greater than him. He can't do anything. And all the time they got him, and Satan is beating him to death. And others are in the cop-out argument, well, just trust to God for it. Which means I don't feel like really getting in and waging the warfare. So just cop-out argument, just trust God for it. Cop-out arguments, and God's not doing it. God's not doing 1/100th of what people are trusting him for, because it's not his job, it's his job down here. It's the people's job. He work through them, not independent. They want to throw it off, have a glory trip, and let trust God to do our job. And he won't do that. He is working through his soldiers and saints. Unless we give ourselves and be a part of that God will work through, he will not do it, and we can't trust him to do it. Because he's going to work through man, not independent of man. Believe that. And the power of the devil is a great deal stronger than what most Christians have really realized. I mean the deceiving power, the delusive power, the coming upon minds that will take a hold of them until they cannot do, it seems, even what they know to do. totally put them in another plane. This is a very powerful force. We must not feel the devil, but we must feel his strategies enough to come and take a hold of the power that's in God. And to call forth the unfallen spirits of God to rally against them. Now, if that is difficult in your doctrinal mind, just stop to realize a minute. If fallen spirits have got a ministry, so have unfallen spirits. If unfallen spirits are working against man, if fallen spirits are working against man, unfallen spirits are working for man. And unfallen spirit was sent to help the Christ in a moment of need and to help Daniel and others. And they are there for a job and not just for a few. They've got a work to do. And God wants us to call forth. See, God can do it all by himself. He said, well, why do we have to have angels? We got God. Why do you have to have preachers? You got God. God knew how to take care of Saul in Damascus Road without a preacher. Why does he need you and me? He's a lot bigger and better than all the rest of us. But he has put the salvation of man under man's hands. And that's why. Now, plan number one. He wants to split the church and pull the flock off of the church through a new thing. Not saint against saint or saint against pastor, although he'll work that way if we can. He wants to work a new strategy, which is, quote, God against the pastor, unquote. He is now trying a higher, more powerful, more imaginative, something that can't be done quite as broadly, but something that has far more power when he can get in. He is trying to set God in you against the pastor you serve. I mean serving Jesus Christ, you know, in submission to the pastor. He is trying to do that. Now, there's no such thing, because God is not against your pastor. And he will not work in you against his pastor. God knows better than to set up authority and work against it. But he's going to try to get you to think that that is what he's doing. Now, there is a deceptive spirit that is roaming this assembly, looking for whom he may devour. I say that on the basis that we have seen this deceptive spirit. I don't mean with our natural eyes, but we have seen his workings. And the person he came upon, we have through prayer and through truth got him delivered. And then that spirit has gone to another one. And then we've done the same thing with that one, and he's gone to another one. And the same thing with that one, and he's out here roaming, looking for others. He is looking for you. He's waiting for you to put yourself in a place where he can do to you what he's done to some others. Now, he doesn't work copycat in everyone, because every individual is different, and he tailor makes it, and he wants it to be enough different that the pattern won't be too recognizable. But one of the things he's doing is he is lying, which would be natural to suppose, and he is making people believe that he is God. And then he is telling you what to do, and he's wanting then you to take his voice as God's voice over your pastor who disagrees with him. So you must take God over your pastor, and that way he'll split you off. Now, that's what he's trying to do. Now, the thing that will save you is this. Notwithstanding the clever arguments of the devil to come and say, oh, yeah, we recognize that old cultist practice. The lying spirits that will come to say, oh, yeah, that adds up, you know. But the thing that will save you is submission, total submission to your pastor, and faith in God, that God has called him and is leading him, and he knows what he's talking about, and he will help you and keep you right side up. Along with the checks and balances that are in the assembly of the ministers and elders that are healed, because he doesn't travel alone. Now, this will save you. This will, if you, I'll promise you, we've had experiences with this demon. And I mean, it's powerful. It is powerful. And will come upon people that you would never think it would be able to do anything with. Now, listen to me carefully. I'll promise you before God that as you open it out, this trick, the devil, can only be played on those who open themselves up for God. Only those who want to go all the way with God and sell out. This is his plan for those who are shutting the door to him, and so he can't get to commit adultery and fight against a brother and be suspicious and critical and gossip and all of that. Those who are down that realm, you won't have any problem with this demon. He can't get to you. He's using other, he's already got you in some things, and he's using other demons for that. But this is saved for those who are moving this realm. And this means those that are doing the most are those he's going to pull off. Those that are moving to the highest places in the spirit are those he's going to try to yank off. Those who've got the most potential and the most goal. He's looking for future prophets, future apostles, future pastors, future evangelists. He's looking for those that are moving in the realm and intercessory prayer, and those who you would never suspect would ever be tumbled. And he knows what he's doing. Now, I'll promise you that if you will totally submit yourself to this pastor, because I see, what am I doing for you? How am I controlling your life? I have only one thing I'm doing. I am only working, everything in my ministry is clearly seen to be working to get you out of the power of the devil, to get you out of sin, to get you out of this old world, to get you into the Spirit and the Word of God, and to bring you into a holiness and righteousness so God can use you in ministry, and nobody should feel that. That is not control for my purposes, because I'm not getting any good out of what you're doing other than being blessed that God is moving in you. See, this isn't something that I'm getting your property and you, and I've got you now where you got puppets. That's not what's happening. I want you to let God be the servant of God. I'm not calling you to be my servant. I'm calling you to be God's servant. It's clear. This is, my preaching is no different than old-fashioned Pentecostal preaching and Paul's preaching. It's to get people to serve God. And today the devil gets so worried if he can find any preacher that will really do that he rushes in with a million false voices to cry, control! Oh, watch out for that. There's that thing again. See? He's trying to befuddle God's people and worry them and scare them to death. But all you got to do is look at it. You could not possibly get in trouble by following what I'm telling you to do from this word and what I've been telling you, as far as all I've been preaching is total commitment. Now, if you will have submission and faith, it will save you in that hour. Because when you're deceived, so this is what's happened. We've got a history now. This has happened. We've had several in the last couple of weeks. And we've had some before. A number. Those that have had total submissive hearts and complete faith in their pastor have come through. And some of them, they've got off of it pretty fast. And they've gotten off of it, and they're on their way, and they're all right. The devil came in and deceived them, but it was short-lived. People cooperated. They let us know. We rushed immediately to it. We took authority over it. We expelled him. Their mind cleared up. They thanked us, and they went on, and they're fine. But those that had suspicious minds, critical, held their hearts back, didn't trust independent spirits, they have got badly hurt. And many of them, I know where they are, and many of them, I just got a report, as a matter of fact, for some of them all, a person's been right among them, and God has brought out of it. They are under such heavy, deceptive spirits. I mean, they are giving themselves to these spirits that started, because they did not put themselves in this right place, I'm telling you. They did not allow themselves to get delivered. And when those lying spirits came upon them, and deceptive spirits, they believed them, held to them as God when it was a demon, and these demons are leading them, and they think it's God, and the whole fruits are wormy. And they are getting into a miserable place. And I just received a lot of information on that. And they did not have the safety that was needed. Now you might ask the question, what if you get off? I'm going to say two things about that. If I flip out and get off, if I flip out, that's what we're talking about. We're not talking about somebody getting a little different theory of something. I'm talking about somebody saying, what are you flipping out? If I would do that, you better believe it, that the senior elders, all the rest of the elders, the Bible college teachers, my own father, and those in position, they would panic, as it were, and rush to me, lay hands on me, rebuke that devil. They would claim God's delivering power. They would not stand to have their pastor flip out and do what we have been seeing and go into some strange, wild, and woolly, esoteric, wild. They could not handle that, and you could not. There would be such a bombardment of praise and power against the devil plot and claiming deliverance that God would expel that, and then I would recover and go on. So you don't have to feel like I stand alone. I do not stand alone. My brethren are behind me. And they're not, see, this happens one at a time, and they're not going to let me go under and do nothing about it. See? And when they come and travail, God's going to deliver me. Secondly, I don't plan on getting there. I think that I'm in a little bit of position in some people. I count not myself to be bulletproof. And I covet your prayers and the help of the saints. But I have been brought in my heart already to such deep convictions of certain things and revelations of certain things concerning man and God and various things. I have such a spiritual animosity for these traps the devil puts people in, that I feel no kinship or no temptation in that area, for some have, because I am not there. I already am in a position of authority, and I'm not strutting. I don't feel any strut. I feel a lot of hard work, brother, and, work hard and save the saints. I am not strutting. I don't have any feeling of grandiose. If I wanted to play the big man, I would do something different than I'm doing. You know, the person who wants to play the wheel and be esoteric, you'd be operating completely different than I am. I'm working as a father trying to help the family and to kind of get the camp together and get things moving on. I'm not traveling and seeing what you think that I'm some super spiritual and trying to do this and that. I could do all kinds of things. If I wanted to get out and travel in the realm, I could get a lot more. I mean, if I opened up to God a lot more and it spent all this time, you say, well, why don't you? Because my energies is where God is leading me into getting the people recovered, healed, brought up. He hasn't led me for a 90-hour-a-week glory trip at the expense of the people. And now, let me tell you how this demon works. Generally, he's coming through a subtle pride. What I mean by that is generally, pride is one of the main things he holds. But those people who have been in it did not think they had any pride. But fortunately, they were open to their spouse who said, you do deal. You do. Yes, you do. You better believe you do. Now, you know how it feels to have no pride, but everybody else knows you've got to be you. You know how your spouse doesn't think they have pride, but you can see it. And they don't think you have. You think you have, and they say they can see it, and vice versa. You know how that is. People feel their inadequacy so much that they can't see the pride. And they know they're humble in these areas, but it's this one area. And because they don't feel, you see, what happens is, this demon, see, in the mind, you don't feel great or anything. You know better. But this thing comes into your spirit. The spirit will come. He would come to bring this feeling. And because there's a need inside to be worth something, this didn't come upon people who are strutting. It comes on people who have a very deep, oftentimes the whale goes clear back to childhood. need. They don't feel prideful. They feel spirit of rejection. They feel inadequate. They feel a crying need just to be something, just to get their head above water, just to be recognized, just to be something in God. That's why I mean a subtle pride. And it comes from a people to a person, quail, because of their strong need and desire, they become victims. Because when the devil comes and says, you are going to be great, and I am God, and I'm going to do all this wonderful thing, who wants to let loose of that? And the person who's most vulnerable is the person who needs it the most psychologically. The man who already feels God's moving on me, I'm doing great, he's not so vulnerable because he doesn't count it as such a great thing. But the person who feels like I am nothing, worse than nothing, and now God's going to put me in this high place, it's too precious to give that thought up. And when God comes and tells you how marvelous you're going to be, I mean, you're going to grab onto that with all your, with all the claws you got, everything you can hold on to. And that's what's happening, and especially getting people that are worn out. And you see, when you're wrestling with the devil, it wears you out. When you're interceding, it wears you out. This prayer and waiting before God and long services and battling the devil and praying and working so forth, you know, you can get worn out. And not think you're worn out, but be really, begin to be exhausted. And you have got to keep your body in shape. You cannot afford to begin missing sleep on the ways. Okay, this is what we're finding. Now, let me give you a few examples. My heart, see, I want to be very careful. I want to be careful not to hurt people. I want to be careful not to expose people. I'm not trying to do anything. If you know people that are involved, you already know. And if you don't know, you don't know. And I want to be careful. I'm not trying to say too much. I want to say just enough to not hurt anybody or implicate anybody. But I want to say enough to protect you. We've got to see the design. I already called one party and said, is it all right if I say a few things? I mean, you know, I said, go ahead, brother. You know, I think most of you will say, go ahead. You may do what you need to do. This is a very important thing I'm dealing with. Because the devil could kill us with this. He could kill us with this. He could take off, he could pull off 40 or 50 cream of the crop. And he's already pulled off some cream. You know that. Because they did not put themselves in a submissive place and trust. And therefore, they could not get delivered, and they were badly, badly hurt, and they badly hurt others. Because they wouldn't put themselves that way. Those that put themselves in the right place could not get hurt. Those who didn't have that trust, they got hurt. Come on, George. They really got hurt. If I could tell you some of the things I just learned, you'd be astounded. Now, you see, what the devil is trying to do is come in and elevate you and begin to fill your mind full that will lift you into a high place where you cannot listen to the pastor because you've got something from God and he doesn't understand. The elders don't understand. This is too holy. I mean, you just can't expect the congregation to understand or the elders to understand or the pastor because I'm up here and God would like me to be able to teach the pastor and these others. And God has given me this special, but I am a special. And it's just a holy thing. It's not a braggadocio. It's just a holy thing and it's so wonderful and I feel so humble about it. That's the feeling you get. You don't feel great. You just feel humble about it. It's a total lie. Total lie. And every person that's been in this, when they came out of it, could see it so clearly. And one brother, the repeating pattern is everyone's in a high, way up place like this. And he's always going to teach the pastor. And he's always going to be in this high place above everybody else. Nobody else understands. You see, that's one thing that the devil is doing. And it's pretty hard to resist that kind of a thing when it comes to you. And so, fortunately, these people have had really sweet hearts. Fortunately, they've been submitted. Fortunately, they've had faith. Fortunately, they had no wrong design. And so, the deliveries came pretty easy. But he snared them. And one individual, when he came out of it, and when I was talking to him even, He could not see how he got into this. He could not even see that he was in it. But his wife says, listen to him, honey. Take heed. Listen to the pastor, honey. And I was hitting it right up, nail right on the head. I was cutting right down exactly what he was doing and thinking. And she was seeing that and said, you listen carefully. And he said, well, honey, I know what I mind. And she says, yep. And because he put himself, he says, I have come saying I'm going to believe anything you tell me. I'm going to trust you. I'm going to submit to anything. Because his heart was so open. And he had this confidence. And we prayed and God delivered him. And a short time he came to me and says, pastor, one sick patient, well on the road to recovery. He said, God showed me how I fell into that trap. And he showed me it was something that stemmed way back earlier in life. Just a big feeling of inadequacy where he needed to be something. And so the demon came to him and made him everything he needed and put him through a pill. And he thought it was God. And he was headed for fanaticism. He was already in it. And he was headed for a place that would be intolerable to work with the church. And it would mess things up, but God saved him. Another sweet brother. These are precious souls. These are brothers with gold. These are people way uphill. And this other precious brother, this demon that came upon him with such power, when he came into my home, and this power was upon him, I couldn't get cooperation because the devil was fighting, was using him, was putting things in his mind to resist me. But when that power was broken, this person would weep. Sweet brother, this is a precious brother. He would weep when he came out of, and when he saw what he was believing and saying, he says, I hate that devil. I hate the devil. I hate the devil. He says, I hate him so much. He says, this is against the principles. I said, absolutely. He says, this is contrary to God. This is contrary to God's will. He got so vehement against that thing he was saying, promulgating. He could see it so clearly. He said, this is absolutely wrong. I said, that's right, brother. And he gets so upset. He says, I hate that devil. And then in one point, when he was trying to explain what was this thing was saying to him, I could see him kind of going this way again, getting back under it. And I was going to immediately go in and do something, but he went like this. That thing was trying to come on me again. And he said, this is a power. He was weeping. He said, I never knew Satan was so powerful. I never knew he was so powerful. He took his mind and had him believe everything contrary to the clear word of God and to the clear principles taught and everything he believed in his own convictions. That's how strong the devil is. So he was saying dumb things, stupid things. And when you're saying it, feeling good about it. Not realizing, I tell you, there is more power. When you get yourself under that power, but you're in trouble. You had, at a time, any time in between this power has really got you, that you know you're in trouble, you had better cry for help. You better say, get the pastor, get the people, get the intercessor, get brothers over to me. You better run. I need help quick. You better call for help. At one stage, he did call for help. And I said, you see, even you admitted you needed help, and you wouldn't need help if it was God. And as I went down and showed him the principles, it was as clear as a bell that this was a demon spirit. And this man, all he'd been doing is opening up to God. All he'd been doing is asking God to come in. All he'd been doing is loving the Lord. All he'd been doing is dying to self. All he'd been doing is getting willing to walk with God. All he'd been doing is lacking sleep and getting worn out. That's all he was doing. And succumbing to a voice that said, I am going to make you great. I want you to teach the pastor. You will be used to teach the pastor and lead him. I'm going to tell you, that isn't what God's trying to do. We had another brother, good brother, strong brother, that this demon spirit came on and began to try to use him to split the church. But he saw it immediately. He saw it himself. And he himself withstood the devil and rebuked it, and it left him. those are warriors. Because he saw it, he took that thing and says, no, you don't, Satan. He tempted him. Just like the devil tempted Jesus. If you bow down to me, I'll give you the kingdoms of the world. He said, I'll take you and I can split the church with you. He says, no, you don't, devil. My flesh may want it, but absolutely not. You see, he was submitted. That saved him. Every one of those men, that second person came up and said, I'm 100% submitted to you, pastor. That's what saved him. Otherwise, he would have been gone. We had another brother. And pride in his case. Every single one of these was pride. Every one of them. And again, the devil tipped him until he was doing wild things. I mean, wild things. Take him completely into fanaticism. Now, without going any further than that, let me tell you plan number two. I've got to get on with my message. I don't want to get too much into the details of that. But I hope a little bit more with it a little bit later. Plan number two is he wants to bring fanaticism into this assembly in mass to discredit and hurt and divide the church through multitudes of revelations over everybody. He wants everybody to know everything about everybody until everybody is a total fanatic in the move of God. Because God is revealing some things. People want things. Receiving spiritual impressions. He wants to get the imaginations and his own ideas in with it and mix up what God is doing, what your own spirit wants, what your own mind wants, what your own imagination, your own intuition, plus the devil's voice, and stir them all up in a pot and have you go into fanaticism and think it's God. And then he wants, through the same thing, to divide the church because, well, I know it's of God, but I know when God talks to me, and therefore, if he won't listen to the pastor and be submitted, he then has to be put off the side and he's got a division. And that's what he wants to do. Now, this requires, to overcome this, real heart submission. Where you really believe and are totally submitted. This is not to your hurt. This is not to your hurt. Don't even take advantage of you. I'm not going to come down there and take your coat off and your bicycle away from you and drive your car home. This is something for your salvation and safety that you won't fall under his power and guise. There must be a cooperation in this body, a tight-knit cooperation. We must be closely tied in. You must be the eyes and ears of the church. When you hear a person's in trouble to hear something, you must immediately inform the pastor so we can immediately do something about it. And it's only been those who've done this that has allowed us to get into these things early and get them taken care of before the devil got them. We cannot wait a month or two later where you hide it until we're in trouble. There must be a willingness in the person to not be revelatory. There must be a willingness to not prophesy. A willingness to not have the gift of revelation. There must be a willingness not to know and have the gift of discernment. No matter how good it feels to have it, there must be a willingness to let loose of it. Even if you think it's God and if we don't have any confidence in what you're bringing, we think you're confused, there must be a total willingness to say, I believe enough in what God's doing here that I will give it up without a worry and not say, well, God won't have his way in me. I'll say, I believe. That if I must operate with the faith of the pastor and others in this assembly, and if I don't have that, then I won't operate. And in this way, I will willingly, if they say, your mind is in it and confusing it, even though I cannot see it, I will say that I will agree that you may be right in this, and I may be totally wrong, and I'm willing not to minister that way. That will save you. But if you're unwilling not to have that good feeling that comes and be special, then he can keep feeding you and you're in trouble. Now, let me tell you, we must not violate any principles by the Spirit. What God is revealing or showing will never violate any spiritual principle. It will never contradict what the pastor is bringing, because God will not undermine. Once the pastor's wrong, he still will not use you to correct the pastor by giving a revelation to somebody who does not work that way. He never works that way. He cannot set up an authority and then undermine it by revelation from everybody else. because then there's no authority. Because then it makes him wrong and everything because he doesn't know. Well, he gives revelation to everybody but him. It won't work that way. The church will be torn to pieces. It means he has to strip himself of authority and believe everything, or else he has to down everything God's doing, and God won't do either one of those. Now, I want to make it clear, I am not saying, lest anybody get the wrong idea, this came from a note passed up to me, that, oh, maybe the pastor wants all the revelation, nobody else have any. No, brother, I'm not saying that. I do not intend that we strip everybody from revelation and God's power. I'm not saying that. There will be revelation. But the devil wants to take it and run it wild. So super excessive and overblow the thing till way beyond God. And so the pastor who's responsible will have to help judge the matter and see whether or not it's ringing true. And if it isn't, he's going to have to say, no, sister, you're running off in a ditch. We had a person do that. I'm going to name it. I think this sister is sweet enough and got enough maturity that she will not be bothered by this. She wrote us a letter. She's a sweetheart. And she's opened up. And you see, let me tell you something. What you do publicly, you do before God and man. And you do not stand up publicly and say, thus saith the Lord. Behold, my pastor, the pastor in this church, has taught the people wrong on this doctrine, saith the Lord. And nobody's done that. But you will not do that, then have the pastor, well, you can't say anything because you might hurt my feelings. See, when you give a message to the people, that stands in a place where it publicly, or to any group, the pastor must have the opportunity and to come and publicly overturn that if it's not right. You can't leave it out there. You cannot be invulnerable. You cannot take the place of God as the voice of God and say something contrary to God and then expect it to be left because your dear feelings might get hurt. You see, you put yourself in a place to say, I believe this is God, and if it isn't, it needs to be corrected, and I don't want to leave any wrong impressions. And if your pride is so high that you'd rather leave wrong impressions and hurt people rather than have people know that you were wrong, then you have got a lot of dying to self to do, and you're not in the right place because you care more for your own self being flawless, which you're not, than you care for the minds and hearts of the people. Therefore, I must say things. This sweet sister got carried away. And she's not the only one. And she began to get excited about certain things that were coming in her mind and certain truths. I don't fault this person. You know, things are coming in, your mind is full, your spirit, you think you see things and so forth. And, you know, people can get loads of imagination. And she began to sing and would tell me, you know, we are changing our doctrines. We're changing our doctrines. And there was a particular doctrine she had in mind, that all the man-child, every saint of the man-child would receive all nine gifts. Well, now, my friend, a demon may have given that to her mind. Or her own imagination might, you know, she might put 2 and 6 together and got 55. But the point is, God will not give theological revelation through you, through the body, to sing to somebody else, to overturn and change the church. That would be teaching the teachers that he's put over the assembly. And he's not going to use somebody to... The revelations of doctrine will come through this word. It will not come through a saint to change the whole doctrine of the assembly, and all the Bible college teachers in the pastor must now flip over and line up to what somebody taught or saying. See, that is not our safety. And so if God ever gives you revelation to give contrary to the teaching established and so forth, to impart and so forth, you know, God, that's not God. It's not God. I'm not saying you might not get a revelation. You might not get a revelation as you personally study. That you might not. You might get a revelation. Well, so this way, you might get a revelation as you purposely study the Word. That you may feel a need to come to the pastor and the elders and Bible college teachers and talk over and see if you can get them to see the revelation. Now that's all right. But that comes from the Word. But you're not going to get a flash revelation or overturn theology that we must believe because of something like that. That's how God won't operate that way. Now, you need to realize that many thoughts